live. So good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Rabbi.
So sorry for the delay there, but we were talking social media, and Father Anderson was just on his social media, not being present in the moment. So there we have it.
Yeah, the irony is all over the place. That was the response we had today, since we are going to be talking about how does social media technology, how does all this play into our own spiritual formation. We all know the arguments about the pros and cons. We've been talking about that forever, about social media. Does it tear us apart? Does it bring us together? Does it ruin human interaction? Does it actually broadcast more invitation for human interaction? But we wanted to get into today the actual relationship with God, because at the end of the day, you can be inspired by things that happen on the digital sphere, but you do have to put down the device, put down the digital instrument, and be able to just be in the presence of God at some point.
And I think it also has to do a lot on an individual basis of being completely self-aware. I know myself. I know my distractions. I know my limitations. And when I get to that point where I've filled that void within myself, how do I have the opportunity or the ability to stop in some way, to really be able not to sit behind a screen and see the world, but to actually be active in our world and you know, bring the beauty and the grace of God into our lives.
The three-dimensional beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the awareness to know, when does our cell phones, when do these different instruments become more escapist? For us not to face the realities that are in front of us. Because sometimes I think we're escaping from an awkward moment, we're escaping from our own social awkwardness, as opposed to just facing it and dealing with it. But you can now go to the phone. When I get nervous, when I get anxious about something, and a lot of times I'll kind of try to blow off some steam by going on the phone now and looking at, you know, Cleveland Brown's blogs or whatever. Could that be used way too much sometimes, and really just put the phone down and say, okay, what's going on here? What's going on internally?
But sometimes
this nervousness?
Sometimes we need to be reminded, whether it be through our spouse, through our friends, through, you know, members of our community. I think to be able to really understand and know when we've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife is pretty good about saying, okay, get off the phone. Mm-hmm. Get off the phone, or I'm just going to leave the room and go downstairs and, you know, have dinner by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, because you get sucked in, you think that you have to do this, you have to respond. And then even from a clergy perspective, sometimes if people are responding on social media, like, oh my gosh, I'm actually getting some traction here.
I think the danger is, whether it be danger or the opportunity is, I don't want to be left behind.
Yeah.
I want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And if I don't respond now,
uh-huh,
I've missed the train.
Right.
And if I miss the train, there's that just kind of disappointment within ourselves. I'm not part of it.
So therefore it becomes part of our own security, how we build our self-esteem. Sometimes it could tap into that, our own self-security, because we don't want to be left out. You don't want to be away from it. Or why don't I have this many followers? Mm-hmm. You know? With this vlog, it's hard because it's, you know, I'm building up this YouTube population, and I'm just wondering, like, okay, so why are we not getting more followers? What's going on here? And you know, you can't allow that to affect your own sense of self value, mm-hmm, right? You stick to the message. Why are you doing it? And you're not doing it for, it's not about me. I have to remind myself, it's not about me. This is about God. This is about communicating God's message in a unique and different way, and go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, do the research of how to most effectively do that and do outreach. But it is, we are now have to be more hyper aware than ever, because we have to use these digital tools. I would say have to, because there's so much traffic going on that we need to be a part of it. However, on the flip side, have to be so equally disciplined, mm-hmm, in how we use it, when we use it, why we use it, if we're feeling any holes with it, you know, in our own hearts with it, because it can take all of you.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get into that today on the show, of how do you stay disciplined, and how does this and then what, at the end of the day, when do you just have to completely disconnect because it's too much, and it won't truly bring you to that deep relationship and authentic relationship with God. I mean, that only can happen between you and God and a worship community mm-hmm. in the flesh, without the distractions, in the presence, and a lot of times in silence too.
So. Absolutely.
All right. God bless you. Enjoy the show, and we will see you next Monday. Peace.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Haim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents A Priest and a Rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, and we are rocking and rolling here on a Friday morning, and we have a fun show ahead of us, and we'll be taking on today is really technology, social media, these little devices we keep in our pockets. Do these things literally bring us closer to the sacred, bring us closer to a sacred relationship with God and doing His work, or do they really, at the end of the day, for all maybe the good they do they really truly separate us and divide us? So that's going to be our topic today. But before we get into that, I just want to check in with some current events that have gone on. I mean, we've got to send our prayers and our love out to Christchurch, New Zealand, and to Elnor Mosque. And it is just devastating news that came out of there. Again, just a sign of this disease of hatred that's in our bones, and you know, just it's just something that we pray that will that we could continue, that the good will overcome the evil,
and the incitement. I mean, the incitement of terror, I think, is where we're at. You know, I think for many who had seen those headlines via social media, which obviously, as we mentioned earlier, will segue into, you know, the topic of conversation today. I know when that report came in last night, and I had seen it, my heart broke, because whether it be in New Zealand, if it be in Europe, if it be in America, South America, it is exceptionally distressing for us as human beings to know that there are others out there who seek the demise of other people, and just unacceptable.
And now, in an age which is, you can literally post this hatred online, mm-hmm. and from what I understand, I haven't read all the articles because I was just getting pop-ups on my phone, but now realizing from talking to you both this morning before the show that this was streamed, much of it. So we once again are reminded of the importance and the power for us to stand up against this ideology, for us to push back on that and stand for the goodness of all of God's children, all of God's children in this world. So on that note, it's just this ironic that this day where we will be taking on technology. And how does it bring us closer or further away from the sacred? How does it really serve and help God's mission and the mission of God's people? The irony is that we're doing it through a podcast and also on this radio show, streaming it through social media. And we asked the question yesterday on social media about our audience, what do you think about this topic? And someone responded back, well, it's kind of funny that you're posting this on social media to get that answer. So it's all intermixed with one another.
You know, it's a fascinating understanding. You know, every single year, for as Jews, our high holidays, for example, Rosh Hashanah will always fall on the first of Tishrei, which usually is September. This year will be late September coming up. But what is interesting with the social media platform is we see it with a ton of rabbis that will post on social media, usually in June or July, or for those that miss the ball, so to speak, will post in August, to say to their community or to others out there on a social media platform, what would you like your rabbis to talk about or to discuss for this high holidays? And just the barrage of people, of members' comments of saying, well, I'd like to hear about how we can better improve the world, or how we become more homogenous, how we become more sensitive to the needs of others. You know, just those comments that I think feed into clergy really listening to our membership to say, what is important? What will get you in the seats and get you interested or get you inspired during one of the most well-attended services that we have throughout the course of the
year? So you like the idea?
I do.
Okay, because yesterday when we were sitting there and talking and preparing ourselves over Broadway bagels, enjoying a nice decaf coffee and a beautiful peanut butter bagel that was toasted on a cinnamon raisin bun, I felt like that we were going to go toe-to-toe today, that you were going to be the one who was going to be much more leaning against the inclusion or the use of technology, that it serves much more of as a distraction, a temptation of something that can really pull us away. How do you really find the sacred, this ethereal relationship in just zeros and ones where you have this device that can easily pull you in many different directions?
But I think, you know, when we look at it, there are definitely pieces of technology that have enhanced our society, that have really pushed us into the future, that have really helped shape our understanding of where we are. But on the flip side, I think that there are times and parts of technology that have made our society lazy, that have made our society less connected to others in a way that was just not there a generation ago.
All right, so let's take an example from yesterday. So the other day, was it Wednesday, we actually had the 30th anniversary of the internet. Okay, yesterday, which was a pretty funny, my wife was showing me on Instagram Jess the Mess, or Jess the Hilarious. She has this great Instagram page where she is talking and reflecting about the 2 hours. She says the 14 hours, but I think it was the 2 hours the social media went down. And she has this incredible funny like 20-second spat where she goes off saying, during that 2 hours, everyone freaked out and went nuts. But then after a while, I actually found out my kid's first name. I realized the kind of juice that my kid likes to drink. I actually saw two people talking on the street face to face. I saw a man walk up to a woman and ask her out instead of going onto an app and asking for her pictures. Traffic was nice and smooth because it was moving at a nice gentle pace. And she goes on and on because once we remove the distractions of the social media, the Instagram, of the Facebook, and whatever else went down yesterday, then once people got over it, realized they got back into this, I guess, traditional place of just being aware, being more present, being more aware of personal relationships and not having this temptation to just pull away to our own phones. Because that is one of the biggest criticisms, and from a spiritual standpoint, that you have to have a personal relationship with God. I mean, you have to be able to explore that and delve into that. And do our devices at times, do they really help, even though there's so many apps that can help you with prayer time and connection with others, but it's also a device that plugs you in and you'll get pop-ups and you're easily distracted, and next thing you know, you're reading blogs or you're just distracted. It's a huge distraction from human relationship and from time you could be spending in spiritually enhancing your life.
So, you know, I think the whole social media platform is fascinating. Because we spend so much time, as you said, but we spend so much time scrolling through, trolling through, whatever it may be, other people's lives, and at some point we miss our own lives, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the other day I happened to be on social media and I was kind of scrolling through and found out that, you know, a colleague of mine, a friend of mine that we've been friends for a while, just welcomed his a new child into the world. I would never have known. Yeah, this guy's in New York. I'm in Florida. You know, we could meet up at a conference in a year. And suddenly he would say, oh, yeah, you know, my two kids are doing really well. Whoa, two kids. When did you have the second kid? Oh, a year ago. Well, you know, I would never have known. I mean, a great example is I had a friend of mine. This is a couple of years ago. A friend of mine was had posted on social media that he happened to be in Pompano Beach. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. How long are you in Pompano Beach for? You know, I live an hour and a half north. You know, I'd love to see you. So we went backwards and forwards. I haven't seen this guy in 25 years. And he said, hey, you know, me and my girlfriend, we happen to be in the area. Let's stop by for some lunch. So this guy comes over, introduce him to my kids and to my family, to my wife. And, you know, happen to say, this is a guy that I was, you know, I was close with in elementary school. We went to we went to high school together. And it was just amazing. We lost contact for 25 years, hadn't seen him. And suddenly social media brought him to my house, in which would never have happened before. Now, maybe that's also the initiative of saying, oh, I happen to see that you were here, taking that step that said, why don't you come join me? I mean, I don't know what this guy's been doing for 25 years.
Right, and that's a common – that I think they would say a common argument of a pro of social media. But let's get back to also just from a spiritual standpoint and from – do you think, Rabbi, that all of the things that we're talking about, which is social media, technology, the devices in our the devices that we have they over these years, we've had a lot of times to reflect, a lot of scholars have reflected on this. Do you personally, as a cleric, feel that technology has allowed your congregation or you yourself to come into a deeper relationship with God? Or do you feel like it really at the end of the day, it's just a big distraction because you really need to be able to disconnect and to disengage at some point to experience the love and the presence of God, which moves you forward to love and share that love with the rest of the world?
So I think it's twofold. I think as we said, there are a lot of advantages to it. But there are also a lot of cons against it. I think technology has made us more of a complacent society. So let me explain a little bit further, right? When we receive a gift or we receive something from whether it be a member of our community or a friend or something, right? In the past, we would take this antiquated thing that we call a pen and what we call paper and write a congratulatory or a note of sincerity, right? Whereas today, I mean, that just seems old-fashioned. We send an email. Thank you very much.
Or a text.
Or a text, right? And I'm a big proponent of just get on the phone and make that call.
Right.
But you know, and when I was in rabbinical school, we had the same kind of challenge. We had students that would say, you know, if I interview in a congregation and this, that, and the other, you know, what's the right protocol? Well, of course, you know what the right protocol is. The protocol is to write a letter that says, thank you very much for your time. I hope to continue the conversation further. Thank you for the experience to which I've learned about your community. Do it in a handwritten note that shows your penmanship, that shows the fact that you took the time and the care. Whereas today, it's I'm going to shoot a quick email, which email I think is a problem as well, because email, you cannot sense tone. It can be misinterpreted. It's not.
But again, what does this have to do with God? And I will say, when I've come over to your place for either Sukkot or from other things and you were wanting to thank me, you sent me a text message. Just FYI, you did send me a text message.
Because you
every
haven't
single
sent me
time.
Your home address.
You could have sent it to the church if you really wanted to. So you're a big part of it. But again,
you're right.
Does it for your parish, for your parishioners, do you think that it is a more on the side of a distraction? And you know, with the liturgy, with all the different sacred symbols and sacred rituals that we use, if you had your druthers and a way to be able to create that landscape for people to fall into, it's because it's always about this relationship with God, mm-hmm. first, which then pushes us out to have deeper relationship with one another and community in love. Does this device I have in my hand, this Samsung phone, help me to do more of that and help me to spread the love of God more? Or does it, at the end of the day, when you take up all the disadvantages and advantages, is it distracting me? Is it pulling me away? Is it taking away a lot of my time? Is it taking away my parishioners' time? What are your thoughts as you look at your phone?
I think that it in some semblance does take us away from real spiritual connection with the divine.
Okay.
I think that there are times that we are so inundated with our own sense of devices, our own sense of technology, that it certainly does remove us in some way from where we should or need to be, both personally, spiritually, and some connection to God. You know, we've seen it in, I mean, look at the makeup of prayer services, right? A generation ago, you went into a prayer service, you were given a book. You know, in our context, we're given a siddur, we're given a prayer book, right? It's got pages, it's got liturgy. We go through it in a methodical way. We pray together as a community. Whereas today, we can offer hands-free services, which means you don't even need a book. I'm going to project it onto a screen via technology that allows you not to have that, to be in the moment, to be able to see it and to pray together as a community. Or, and in no way am I trying to plug my movement, but if you were to go on Apple or whatever app it is, you can download for $4.99, you can download the prayer book itself. So now you have that technology in your hands. You don't even need a prayer book because you can follow along with your iPad or your device.
Is that a good thing?
I think that I go backwards and forwards on it. A part of me that says, I, as a Reformed Jew, I like to embrace technology and say, what an amazing innovation. But on the flip side, there's a part of me that says, I like the traditional book. I like being able to really share in that moment that everyone as a community gets to share in, right? The advantage of having it on a tablet or having it on a device says that I can spiritually take my own device and pray in the confines of my own home, wherever I am, if I'm at the beach, if I'm skiing, wherever I am in the world, that I can take that and find personal connection or personal meaning for myself. So I think it's a catch-22 in some semblance in terms of technology. How do we embrace it? And again, you know, I think you're right that it's not just about the social media platform, right? If you look at the advancements in medicine, in research, right? You know, that thing that people used to take that plugged into a computer, what's that thing called? A USB port?
Yeah.
Right? Who invented that? Israel. Israel invented the USB.
Okay.
Right? Israel has done so much technological advancements that have made our society better in some way, but have also, I think, pushed us further away. It's kind of that dichotomy that we had with religion versus science, right? At some point in our known world, religion was at the center. That was our everything. Have we in our society today pushed religion on the periphery because we've embraced science and that there's a rational way of understanding that have pushed our religion, and not our religious belief, but the religious institution of itself, of saying organized religion or how we come to our own understanding, have we pushed it further from the center?
Well, yeah, that's a fascinating topic that we do need to take on at some point, is the idea of once we had the scientific revolution and the Enlightenment, what did that do to our understanding of God's relationship with us? Because there was a time when we really prayed to God for a real healing and that we depended upon God, and that was Dr. God. But then once Western medicine made a lot of advancements in the scientific revolution, well, then it kind of got replaced a little bit, like, well, let us pray for those who are the practitioners who can watch over us, and we kind of lost this idea that throughout Scripture we have a lot of healing. But getting back to this, and for all of you who have your own thoughts and ideas on this, please give us a call at 772-220-9788, 772-220-9788. We realize and we know that this is a tough one to just put a finger on and say it's all bad or it's all good, because just like anything with any kind of big advancement that happens in society, there's going to be major advantages, major disadvantages. And I think what we're going to have to get to is that as a priest or as a rabbi, that how you guide and how we guide our flock is that you have to be extremely aware and disciplined in how you use these tools, because these tools open you up to just a world of influence. Anything that you want is at your fingertips, anything that you wanted. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just think about as a kid that when you're a kid and you're young and you walked into a 7-Eleven and you were like, ooh, what's that risque magazine behind the counter? Right. You couldn't do anything about it. You're under 18. Forget it. Now you're under 18. You can go on the internet and push a couple buttons, and you could be taken to some pretty dark places. I mean, so these devices are portals to wherever you want to go, whatever you want. Free will is right at its maximum in the technological age. We've been given free will since the dawn of time, but now we have to be even more so. So I would make the statement that these devices, because I was trying to make a think it really through, that do, when used with a conscious mind, with a spiritually conscious mind, knowing that the one thing that we have that no one can take away from us is our time. And when we regulate that time, I mean, money comes and goes, but your time is what you have. And knowing of, like, what do I want to get out of this day? How do I want to use it? Especially from a spiritual standpoint, that you have to say, okay, how much time am I really spending reading the blogs? How much time am I really spending, you know, messing around in this app, on social media? And if I really want to grow into a deeper relationship with God, there are tools, there are apps that you can download, prayer reminder apps that can pop up and say, hey, time for you to pray, and give you some scripture, and we'll jump in there. But then you have to have the discipline. As we all know, and as Christians, we would say that's why you're called a disciple, to have the discipline to be able to walk away from the other temptations, walk away from the other distractions, or put the phone down, turn the computer off, and say, for the next 2 hours, I'm spending it with my family, with my friends, in silence, with scripture. The Bible has been, Life Church introduced an app with the Bible that reached millions and millions of people. So now you can have it right on your phone. And over, 70%, I was looking at the Barna Group, 70% of millennials, practicing Christians, that's how they go to find the word. They find it on their phone.
Sure.
Right? 30% of millennials who are not practicing Christians, that's where they go. Right. And I don't know if the same thing is true for Judaism, for not practicing and practicing Jews. But that's just the reality. So at some point, too, the church is always 100 years behind. And I think whether we like it or not, we have to jump head first into it and teach and reflect what it means to use it to the goodness and the greatness of God and for your own development as a human being.
But I think you're right in terms of, the key with all of this is discipline. How do we discipline ourselves, whether it be to limit in some way, as Father Anderson is on his phone right now doing something.
I'm seeing people responding to our radio show.
Okay. Right. But I think that there's something there too about, how do we? I remember years ago, when I got my first, and Apple really didn't exist back, with the iPhone, that I had my BlackBerry, right? And I remember saying to my wife, right? And I remember saying to my wife at the time, this was, 12, 13, 14 years ago, and saying, it's amazing. Like, they have this thing now where not only can I make a phone call, but I can access my email. And it was all at your fingertips. And even when I was in rabbinical school, that whole notion, it really didn't filter into Canada until much later, certainly with the United States, the whole texting. So, when I was in Europe and I came back and I was like, I was texting some friends back in Europe. And, my brother had said, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm texting. That will never take off. Well, today, that is the primary mode of communication, right? And that ability to take that to the new level. And I think, even we look at, 1989, 30 years later, the internet has exploded, right? It is not the same internet that we had 30 years ago. Not to say that it's a great innovation. It's also a challenging innovation, because I think in some semblance, if you're looking for sources or source material, for example, not everything on the internet is correct. Not everything on the internet is factual.
Right.
And years ago when I used to write, I wrote a social action holiday guide for Tu B'Shvat, the celebration of trees, for the Union for Reform Judaism. And as I was doing my research for it, I would come across sources and source material. So, and my approach has always been to take the source material and go to the original to make sure it is correct.
And this is online?
And this was online, or through articles. And, what I realized was that like 75-80% of what I was seeing from a source material was actually cited incorrectly. It wasn't true. So I'd read something and would say, it said this in Perkei Avot, the ethics of our ancestors in chapter 2, verse 17. And I would go to the original and I would read through it and go, this has nothing to do with that quote or that story. And then find out later that it happened before chapters later. So, you know, I think it's a good reminder for us that the internet and our access to information is only surface deep, that I think we need to actually to do our own research to make sure that what we're putting out is as accurate as we can.
Yeah, because most, a lot of people find when they're doing their research, will go to Wikipedia and just stay there. But you do have to look at their source material as well and actually click on the source material and see where it's taken. Because sometimes they'll just list the endnotes, and those endnotes are not legitimate. And so with the internet, anyone can be posting. Everyone has a voice. And from a religious standpoint, you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry from one extreme to the other and from the center who's posting stuff and giving major – taking major theological stances that could be really misinformed from Scripture. Really, really misinformed, and part of that, it's a little bit scary that's out there.
And I get the understanding, as I'm sure you do, which is, you know, when we try and understand certain writings or understanding when it comes to Scripture or literature or textual references, it's interpretive. I can interpret the Torah or I can interpret the Bible in a way that may be completely counter to what its original intent is or was. You know, I think especially with technology today, I mean, we are in some semblance slaves to our phones.
Right.
And I remember years ago having this moment of panic. I get to my office. I'm preparing for, you know, a Shabbat morning service, and I tap I tap my pocket and, oh my goodness, my phone is not here. And that moment of panic, what am I going to do? And a part of me that says, get over it. It's not about you. Who cares? Now, as clergy, as I'm sure you can attest to, you know, part of our profession says that also we are available, like it or lump it, 24/7. And look, it's one of the things that I love most about my profession is that I am available for my members or anyone for that matter if you are in need. And I do keep my phone. I don't keep it on. I silence it for fear that if there's a bereavement issue, if there's a challenge, this, that, and the other, and I traditionally do not answer my phone on Shabbat with the exception of, you know, if my president were to call or a member of the congregation that is very gravely ill that needs me at that given moment, you know, I respond as quickly as I can. But I remember that moment very clearly of, oh my goodness, I don't have it. Where is it? What am I going to do? That moment of sheer panic. And I remember saying to myself, it doesn't matter. You're here to serve God. I'm here to serve my community. And at the end of the day, this technology is a distraction. And I remember, you know, and I try the practice as best I can. I'm not always great with it, but I try as best I can not to use or access, you know, this type of platform on Shabbat. That there's a reason God said, you shall rest on this day, on Shabbat. And it actually was quite liberating. Very, very liberating not to have that technological advancement.
Oh, yeah. I was just in Cuba for 3-4 days on holiday with my wife. And so the beauty of going on vacation off the reservation, and we were in a place where the Wi-Fi is very shoddy and your data is not going to really work too well. We just to be able to disconnect. And so she and I could really spend genuine time together. So if there is a downtime while we're waiting for the tour, while we're waiting for this, we're not flipping on our phone and checking in with whatever. We're not trying to make it an Instagram post or whatever. No, we're just going to be there. Now, of course, I was also vlogging, right? Mm-hmm. Vlogging because I have this vlog that I do, released every Monday, called Your Favorite Christian, right? Would that become a distraction? Even though the vlog is really made to be able to reach out to those who don't come to church, it's for spiritually curious. It's for the people who are on the outside, not for the inside of the church. But a lot of the times, I got the camera in hand. I'm asking my wife to hold the camera so I can, you know, reflect on something through a theological lens of what's going on in Cuba. But there was a little bit of a distraction that technology came in, as opposed to us just having this time of intimate time together. It was just the two of us with no other distraction. So we're going to take a quick break here. 772-220-9788. Do you think in your own walk, your spiritual walk, and your own human relationships, that technology actually brings you closer to them when it's all said and done? Or do you think if there was an edict that went and said, no more No more of these cell phones, whatever, that are actually our society would progress and would become more connected to the divine and to one another. That's coming back. That's all coming once we get back. Hey, everyone, it's Father Christian, and it is Lent during this time. And if you are someone who does practice Lent during the Christian season, I want to invite you into a variety of things happening at St. Mary's Episcopal Church right here in Stuart. We have a Lenten lunchtime concert series every Wednesday from 12 to 12:30. And then we will be serving a lunch in the Pinger Center from 11:30 to 1. That's just an $8 donation. So that's all the way up to Easter every Wednesday. Then we have a Lenten series with Vic Copan, who's from Paul Beach Atlantic. So we'll be serving a simple soup supper every Wednesday night, and then he'll be leading us on a reflection from at 6:30 p.m. He is the head of ministry at Paul Beach Atlantic. And then also on March 19th, we have a night of healing with Janet Helms, who is the founder and director of Orphan Heart Ministries. And she will be doing a wonderful thing of leading us in a group healing, of grief healing, of soul healing. It's very powerful stuff. She leads 30,000 people sometimes doing this in East Africa. So I want to invite you all into what's happening at St. Mary's, especially during this holy time of Lent. God bless you.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe. And please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review if you can. We certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian, and you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode, and it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find our relationship with God through all the what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was What Do Women Really Want in a Man, and interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notification so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained, over 50 hours of training, to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more of the presence of Christ and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. And even during the commercial break, Rabbi Durbin and I are going back and forth over this idea of does technology, this technological revolution that we're in the middle of, this technological age, does it help us with at the core of it? Not just about getting the word out, not just about evangelization, not just about helping us organize a pancake supper and be able to get a good turnout because you put a Facebook post on. That's all great and that's building the community. But at the end of the day, does technology help us
with the deep, sacred relationship that we need to form with God, which we all know sometimes happens in the solitude and the quietness of a sanctuary or by yourself or with others, by holding hands and saying the prayers and singing the songs and experiencing the presence of the divine amongst one another or by yourself. You can't get that through an app. But it's like, there's the big but here, because the church is always, and I don't know if you agree with this, synagogue is always 100 years behind in the rest of the world, because we're entrenched in this, especially if we have historic denominations, we're entrenched in this history of how we do things, and social media wasn't a part of that in scripture, right? But listen. People are on social media getting influenced, getting inspired, getting tempted, getting whatever. They're getting pulled in many different directions. And if the church and the synagogue is not on there and doing a good job, not an okay job, not just a blood job, but really a really good job of communicating the message of God's love, of God's community, and joining and creating dialogue, whether it's on social media, whether it's on the website, whether it's doing live streaming from the services, then... Well, for me, I say goodbye church with the folks who are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the ones who are the nuns and duns, the ones who are kind of are growing up in a new generation that's never been to church, not because they don't hate the church or the synagogue. They've just never gone. It's not even a part of their life. They're finding so much of their influence and so much of their development and their formation, right? Their own formation as an individual from these influencers. And if the church doesn't do a good job, and I keep on coming back, a really good job, we got to be on top of this, because if you do a poor job, then you just look like another rando church that's saying God loves you so much, and as opposed to creating really electrifying, awesome messages and being on top of it, hiring a social media director, you know, get the money together, or finding someone in your congregation who can lead that, being on top of the live video feeds. Some people might not like it. You feel like you're shaking hands with the devil, but you got to be there. You got to be present, because the rest of the world is there. And this is beyond just millennials. This is the next generation, and they're getting influenced, and they're going to need some help about how to steer through all of this massive amount of information. And some of it can be pretty risque and really pull people off course.
But I think part of it too is also about, as you said, not only the influencers, but the competition. You know, you look 20, 30 years ago, the competition in religious institutions that we had was what was going on extracurricularly, right? My kids would be going to a dance competition or, you know, whatever it is on a Saturday or, you know, in your case, on a Sunday. We're competing with those outside influencers, whereas today it's not only that, we're competing with everyone else who wants to push their own agenda forward to say, join us for this, that, and the other. Right. So you may have members who go, you know, I'm a pretty observant person. I go to church every single Sunday. Oh, hang on. I was going to go to church on Sunday morning at 10. But there's this great event that I just happened to come across on social media that seems really attractive, really family oriented. And you know what? I think for this Sunday, I think I'm going to go there instead.
But if Rabbi Matthew Durbin is on social media, starts to create a pretty good Twitter profile, or is on Facebook, and you guys are Facebook living your events, your the life of Temple Beth Chaim, and you start to create a platform and a voice, then you become this, like, I need this. I mean, this is what you and I believe in firmly, that nothing beats the grace and the love of God and a relationship with God. It's a matter of how are we communicating that. And so if we can get on there and become quality, strong voices that are engaging with the outside community, and people are going to say, there is something going on at that temple that I need to go to for my family, for my kids. I can't get that at that other event in Palm City or West Palm Beach. I need to go to the temple. I need to go to that thing on Wednesday night that they're talking about. I need to go to that Tuesday prayer healing session that's going to happen at St. Mary's. That's powerful stuff. They found out through social media. They found out through a Facebook post that we did. They found out through a video that we posted online, and we boosted it, and we did all the stuff that you want to do. But the content has got to get out there, because they ain't going to find it. They might find it through word of mouth, hopefully. But there's about 60% of people who are searching – that it's all a big search engine, and they're seeking. And a lot of people right now, since they're not going to church, not going to temple, not going to the mosque, they're seeking meaning in any way possible. There is an existential crisis going on, and people are seeking meaning. And this is kind of an old and weathered debate, but with millennials, they've already lost trust in the institution. Right. So, but they're seeking some kind of form of like, let's figure this all out. And if there's this guy, this really cool, hip rabbi who's on there, who's on his Instagram, who's posting really inspiring, powerful messages, someone's going to say, hey, man, this guy really gets me up in the morning and is great. And there's this app that he recommends that will remind me to pray five times a day. And I'm starting to make more sense of life. And I'm starting to kind of get through the day because this is a piece I've been missing. And that's why I'm wondering, I was like, say, so the people, we've already lost half the people. They're not going to church. They're not showing up. So now we meet them where they're at and provide the good news of our relationship with God. And then, because we believe that this is undeniable, you know, this is undeniable how the grace of God and how it changes and transforms our heart, that then those who hear it and get involved with it and get engaged with it will be like, I want more of this. This is what's missing. I can't fill this gap with these other distractions. I would think I would rather maybe go pray for 10 minutes and be disciplined about that and maybe take away 10 minutes from my Instagram feed. Because it is much more informative, it's much more compelling, and it's helping me get through the day, right? Because I mean, the reality is, I mean, prayer life is down, church in America, but I don't think everyone's becoming atheists. They're hungry.
But the access to that prayerful understanding is also made possible by social media, right? You know, as you said, live video streaming of services. I mean, there are synagogues that offer that for the infirm, for those that are unable to join during services. The downside with it is, why should I go and be part of a community when I can just see it in the confines of, you know, my pajamas,
right?
That I don't need to go. And I think that that's always been in the background of most clergy who offer video streaming services, to be able to say, will it detract from? And I think that there's a lot of truth there. If I offer, what if my attendance goes down? And really, is there a need to be part of a community? That's what community's for. That's why we have services on.
But if they come to your service, they're going to know. And then when they go on the live feed, it's not the same. Right. When you go on the live,
because that's the hope. That's the hope. And the intent is that it's not the same, that as a community, when we pray for others' health or we offer prayers for healing, that there's strength in community saying your loved one is not alone. You are not alone, that we are here to pray on your loved one's behalf. And from a service perspective, that there is strength in being part of a community that prays together, that shares that sacred moment together. You can't get that watching it on a TV screen.
Absolutely. And as an Episcopalian, everything for us culminates into this sacramental relationship. We're all going to come up and take the body and blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, we're here at...
Some of us. Not all of us.
As Episcopalians. 772-220-9788. We love to get your thoughts on all this. This is an exciting conversation to have. But for us, yes, we live feed a lot of we live feed all of our contemporary services. And we have this running conversation with people who are watching on Facebook. We use Boxcast, so it gets a good compression rate, so it looks great. It comes from a nice professional camera, so they can hear the music. Then hopefully what it's reaching are a lot of people who just didn't want to sleep in, but people who are on vacation, who are off-site. But from a sacramental standpoint, the culmination of our service is coming up for the bread and for the wine, for the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Digitally, you can't communicate that. That is a tactile thing. So the church has these seven sacraments that are tactile, that are physical, whether it's baptism with water, whether it's healing with the oils, whether it's the Eucharist with the bread and the wine. And these are these simple physical things, because we are physical beings and the spiritual moment happens when you're there in person. So I would say that, yeah, the social media, the live feed, all that stuff, hopefully is just like sort of an appetizer. It's because so people want to say, I want to go get that in person. I need to see that in person because nothing beats human interaction because we're pushing against a movement right now.
Absolutely.
A movement, and we know the stats right now. That I think there was a study that came out, I think in Pew Research, that most teens would rather text their friend than rather talk to them in person. So if you had the option to go say, hey, well, let me go talk to Rabbi right now because he's only right around the corner, or I'll just text him, they'd rather text. Mm-hmm. So there's this division that's happening.
But that's avoidance. Because at the end of the day, the avoidance of, I don't really want to get into conversation, but, and a text, we can just go backwards and forwards in a text. It's that avoidance technique that says, I don't really have the time right now. Nor do I have the, you know, I don't want to engage in. You know, somebody once said to me, if you have the time to read a text or to read an email, you got time to respond. And I think in some semblance, you know, it is true. I think in others, it's more challenging. I mean, however drawn out or in depth the conversation may be, obviously it may require a time to reflect and time to think as you compose an email. But I think that there is a disconnect in some way.
Yes. Yes. And one of the spiritual disciplines right now at St. Mary's, we're focusing on just Christian formation and what Christian formation is all about, change. And what are the disciplines that really have been communicated to us through Scripture, Holy Scripture. And one of them is simplicity of life. And when we surround ourselves with all these distractions and chaos, you have to find moments. I mean, you have to keep the Sabbath, but you have to find moments of simplicity just to let down, just to be at peace and to breathe and to be aware of the presence of God. You know, you could follow the greatest pastor, the greatest rabbi on Twitter or read their blogs, and that might be inspiring, but you also have to have the time to totally disconnect. You have to fast. Fasting now includes not just, you know, bread and water, because we are called to fast, but there's a great power and a great power of spiritual growth by fasting from technology, because it's going to keep on coming. It's going to keep on being there, but you have to be disciplined and maybe set times during the day where 4 times a day, 5 times a day, 3 times a day, you are going to disconnect. And when you get home with your family, you're saying there's no phones at the table or there's no phones after 6 p.m. because we as a family are going to be each other one-to-one, whether how uncomfortable it might be for you. We're going to do this because we've been doing this forever. And we can't lose that human interaction because we find God in one another, which gets missed when that only is being communicated through zeros and ones. Mm-hmm. On a blog, on a vlog. Those are just catalysts. Those are just catalysts. But I think the real work, and I don't know if you agree with me with this, the real work happens in human-to-human interaction, in the simplicity of a worship service or time together in prayer or the service work that we do together. You have to be able to communicate to God. And as my spiritual director once told me, you have to shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. You have to shut up and listen. I'm sorry. You have to be quiet and listen. There's no other way you're going to hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. You can't.
But again, it goes back to that characteristic of how do we discipline ourselves enough to be able to allow that to happen? Because we're inundated with so much today, so much influencers, so much stuff that's hitting us like smack in the face, to be able to say, you know what? I don't need this right now. I need to be with myself. I need to be able to listen to my inner calling. I need to be able to spend quality time with my kids or my family or my friends or my community. You know, we say Shabbat itself is a day of complete and utter rest. What does that mean? For me as a Reform rabbi, as a Reform Jew, it says I do the things that I cannot do during the week that I can make sacred, I can make holy with God's intention on Shabbat.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
What does that really mean? Not to say I don't spend any time with my kids during the week. When I'm home and when I have the opportunity, absolutely. I try as best I can to be in the moment. But on Shabbat, when I come home in the afternoon after services and leading a community through prayer, it's really spending that time putting the phone away, usually putting the phone to charge and let it charge all day, not really looking at it, and really taking the time to go out and to see – God's creation. We don't. How often do we take that real opportunity to smell the coffee, to look at where we live, to experience and to be grateful for what we have? We don't, because there's so many other extenuating stuff.
There's things that's you want there to say right now, but you're holding your tongue so hard.
You know, it's just, it's Dave.
The adjectives that are about to come out of your mind were just great. I know, and it's so true. It is a I don't want to say a double-edged sword, but I can't tell you. I mean, during Irma, we couldn't get together because we were all sheltered into our own homes. But we were able to worship together because of Facebook Live. We were able to do morning, noon, and evening prayer together as a church by going on Facebook Live and leading it, and people could find so much comfort and solace and knowing that we're all in this together and communicating through Facebook Live, right? Because we couldn't have the ability of getting together and holding up together in a sanctuary or a place like that. So that's super. I mean, that's incredible.
But that's great. I think, look, the good thing about social media is it's made it easy, not social media, but for technology, it has made it easier for us to access. So, you know, as an example, I have alerts on my phone that tell me members of my community that, you know, this morning happens to be, you know, so-and-so member's anniversary, their birthday, an anniversary of someone's death, right? I get those alerts, so I know that today may be your birthday, right? So then I compose an email that says, wishing you a happy birthday, this, that, and the other, and I add some stuff to it. Whereas before, I'd have to go into my congregational database. I'd have to search. I'd have to find it. It adds more time. It makes it easier. Doesn't make the work less, because I'm still engaging in that conversation of saying, it's your birthday. You know, mazal tov, congratulations. You know, may you be blessed with many more years. Whatever it is that I compose. And I send it to members to say, you know, I'm thinking about you today. Or happy anniversary as you celebrate X amount of years. You know, whereas before, we'd have to go through a series of paper, a series of membership applications to find out that information, to then go where we can do it very easily on the course of our fingertips. And I think in that semblance, yes, it is great. But the other flip side is, has it made us more of a complacent, more of a, for lack of a better term, has it made us more of a lazy society?
Lazy society, but also, I think, a disunited society.
Absolutely.
Society, because how many times have you walked into a restaurant and you walked into any kind of establishment and there's a family sitting around the table and every single person is on their phones? Mm-hmm. And they could be sharing great moments, talking with one another, connecting with one another. It gets back to that discipline again. The discipline of saying, mom says, no, all phones go down, they all go away. Or you have screen time, your screen time is done. Or as you get older and mature and you make your own decisions, that you're going to say, I'm not going to let technology rule me. Okay, I rule it. When it's in my life.
That's about limitations.
And be aware when it is starting to like it. Be aware. How many times have you checked your phone in the last hour? Right. Be aware of that. How many times? I mean, the average person or something like that is—it's insane, the numbers on it. So I think from this conversation today, we could pull away from this is overall awareness for you to ask yourself as a listener: how many times do you check your phone throughout the day? Honestly, just be honest with it, or just keep track of it. If you wanted to use your phone, would you be down to like download, you know, some of the apps that help you with keeping yourself in a prayerful place? Because there's a slew of different app reminders that help you to journal,
like
to scripture,
or iTunes or podcast, and download a priest and a rabbi.
Yes,
right, which is a great way for you to connect in some way with your community, with your spiritual being, is to listen to the voices of Father Anderson.
But these are all catalysts at the end of the day that you have to be in community. God wants us in community. So that has to be a big part of your spiritual life, to be in community with others. You can't be a solo act. It can't just be on the digital sphere. It can't just be the digital church. It has to be tangible. You can hold someone, hold their hand. You can hug them. You can praise God together. You can pray together. You can take the sacrament together if you're coming from a Christian tradition. These are so important. But also, at the same time, to be out there and be the good voice, the good influencers out there, because it's needed. Because there's bullying that's happened out there. There's other things that are happening out there.
But I think also the big takeaway, too, is be in the moment. Be present. Don't hide behind our social technology that has made us an incredible society, but at the same time, to be present, be active, be in the moment so you're not wasting life or watching time go by.
Yeah.
That you're present in time.
Yeah.
giving your life, giving your time over to a platform or to other lives, as opposed to just focusing on your own growth and development. And we would say your own development into God, into relationship with God and his community. So God bless you. At St. Mary's, we got a spiritual healing service. That's this Tuesday at 6 o'clock to 7:30. It's a night of healing. Come visit us. God bless you. We'll see you next week.